guest growl, Clinton. Let's go.
Ah, which is a real growl today. Because let me explain something to you, John. The studio is a circus today. Okay? Just so everybody knows, this is not a spot start. This is an emergency start. And both Travis and Sleeva were in studio. So it was a scramble. I'm here. I haven't eaten my smash burger yet. I did the jump like 30 minutes ago with Momo. Got to see her and Jorge and George and everybody. Everything is good, but I'm a little on edge. I'm a little flattered, but I'm ready to go.
I'm glad you're here. And yes. I know to the listeners, this comes as a great shock. But Steve Mason's taking a day off.
Stunning.
I know.
Development.
I mean, it just never happens. But we have, it might be, Clinton, I was thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, especially in Los Angeles, one of the great sports weeks of all time. Here's what I mean. Tonight, Raiders Chargers at SoFi.
Yeah.
The get-in price for this game, just to get in the door, is $250 because all the Raider fans are trying to get in. That's the highest get-in price we've had for a game at SoFi yet.
Gotta be, right.
All right, so tomorrow's actually the kind of dead day.
It's the
AL wildcard game, Yankees at Red Sox. Wednesday, Lakers Suns at 3, followed by Cardinals Dodgers NL wildcard game at 5. Thursday, Rams Seahawks at 5. AL division series starts in both Tampa and Houston. Friday, NLDS starts.
Yeah.
Lakers at Warriors at 7. As long as Mason and I have been on the radio, I don't know if we've had that much stuff packed into a Monday through Friday ever. And it all starts tonight at SoFi.
Yeah,
so we'll get into all.
It's not like a lot isn't going on in the sports world, you know, for people to talk about, Mason.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. But no, this is very exciting. I think that, like, locally, you can't ask for more. You cannot ask for more, Greg.
You know what Tuesday's all about for me, John, and I think hopefully for you guys too? That just means I get to watch The Many Saints of Newark. So there's a day. There's a day off where I get to watch this movie now.
I'm pretty excited about it. I hear it is people are not as excited about it as they once were.
Really?
I hear it's like not as good as everybody thought. But I haven't seen it. Don't tell me those things.
I haven't seen it either.
On the other hand, Rolling Stone says Succession, which comes out in 2 weeks, season 3, is the best season so far. And that show has been unbelievable the first 2 years.
Okay.
So apparently the one that's coming is great. But we'll get into that too. A couple of reminders. Bergman, do we have Ram tickets to give away today?
We do, because it's Million Dollar Monday.
Okay, but do we have anything to give away for Lie of the Day?
No, a Mason Island t-shirt.
Nah, let's screw that. We got too much going on. So we'll table the lie for today, because we are giving away Ram tickets. It's Rams Lions in Million Dollar Monday, right? And you get a chance, if you're the guy who wins our game for that, to predict the two teams are going to be in the Super Bowl and predict the score. And if you nail it, if you get the exact two teams and you nail the exact score, you win $1 million. So we're not messing around. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on here, and it's a Million Dollar Monday. So, Clinton, we could start anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start here. What the hell happened to the Rams yesterday? Who were those guys wearing the blue and gold? I mean, it's almost like those two teams changed uniforms. Sean McVay was 8-0 in his career against the Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury didn't even sniff a win against the Rams, and they didn't just beat them. They beat them up.
They dominated that game. I think that – so last week we were asked the question on Around the Horn, does the road to the NFC title go through Los Angeles? Well, not only did I say that, yes, the road runs through Los Angeles, but the Cardinals ran through the Rams like it was nothing. I mean, I have the feeling that this Rams team is excellent. This Rams team is skilled. But this Rams team is not walking into the building better than any of their opponents on the top side, and they learned that lesson the hard way yesterday. At home, to get dominated that thoroughly by a division opponent, and I heard Travis talking about this earlier, they got outcoached. I believe that as well, John. I just think that this was a bad performance in a big spot. I mean, this happens. I'm not super worried necessarily, but this is one of those you look to when, if you think about the matchups that are going to happen later in the year and potentially in the playoffs, the Cardinals are going to have a lot more to draw from this than the Rams are, by a lot.
I'm different than you are. If I'm a Rams fan, I'm a Raiders fan, but I kind of have been rooting for the Rams because I like McVay, I like Les Snead, I like Kevin Demoff. I think what they built over there is really cool.
Right.
So they're kind of my team B after the Raiders. I would be very worried if the Rams were my team. And it's not Clinton that they lost. You're going to lose. They were never going 17-0. It's how they lost. You said it. They got dominated. I mean, this was not close. It looked like one team had its act together, was organized, knew what it was doing, and the other team just looked lost.
Yeah.
And for really only the second or third time since he's been here, Sean McVay looked lost. And he talked about it after the game. He said that this was on me, and Matthew Stafford said, no, it's on me. I mean, they said all the right things. But it's not that they lost. It's how they lost. Kyler Murray did whatever he wanted. They ran the ball right at the Rams. At the end of the game in the fourth quarter, with about 10 minutes to go, and the game was pretty much out of reach by then, but, you know, the Rams were still holding out hope for a miracle comeback. They went 99 yards all runs. Mm. They didn't even throw a pass. They just ran the ball right down the field and scored. And I never thought I'd see a Ram team get dominated like that. And Matthew Stafford looked very, very human. You know, he looked superhuman for 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean,
yesterday he looked like Jared Goff.
It's week four. When would you rather have this game happen? Would you rather have this game happen in the first quarter of the season, mid-season, or postseason? I think you would elect the former, which is the first month of the season. And so that's a level check that you've got to figure out if you're McVay for sure, because I think you're exactly right. At no point did I think that the Rams were going to win this game, which is another major metric for me when it comes to just what you're looking at on a basic level on the field. Arizona looked like the better football team from whistle to whistle, and they were. And I think if you're the Rams, you got to say, hey, it's not a throw out the game tape situation. Not at all. You don't do that in the NFL anyway, but I think there are things to be worked on. Cooper Kupp and Stafford were just playing out of sync. There were some balls that could have got caught that didn't, but there were also a lot more hitting shoulders and behind guys than I sort of really ever remember in terms of where Cooper Kupp usually gets the football, or rather how he usually brings in the ball. I mean, you got to work on it. You know, the Cardinals are no slouch, though, either. I think that's something else to be understood here, is that it's not like the Cardinals are some, you know, wandering team that is trying to figure it out. I mean, they are a team that believes in themselves, and a lot of people believe in as well. They executed yesterday. The Rams did not.
And here's the problem if you're the Rams. They got to turn around and play on Thursday.
Right.
And they got to play at Seattle. And Seattle looked really good yesterday. Seattle had no trouble with the Niners. We all know that the Niners kind of own the Rams. And now the Cardinals look like they're better than the Rams. So this division, I mean, I could see any of those four teams winning it. And before yesterday, I thought it was the Rams' division to lose. I don't think that anymore. And yeah. I think the Rams have a lot of work to do. By the way, anything we talk about today, anything at all, and we're going to cover the Rams, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Dodgers, UCLA, USC, all of it, you feel free to ring in anytime. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. And we'll take your phone calls and work them in on what's a crazy day. Now, let's turn our attention to what's happening tonight. Clinton, I don't think the rest of the country, and you haven't lived in L.A. for that long, I'm not even sure you're prepared for what is going to happen at SoFi Stadium tonight. Trust me when I say this. It will be 80% Raider fans.
Oh, yeah.
This will be basically a Raider home game. The Raider fans are great at taking over opposing stadiums, but here in L.A., they're better at it than anywhere else they go. And an undefeated Raiders team against a 2-1 Chargers team on a Monday night in a new stadium where they're letting fans in for the same time, you are about to see a hostile takeover at SoFi Stadium tonight.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Listen, I'm a Bolts guy just because when I moved here, they moved here. I like the uniforms. It is what it is. They don't look bad, Gregory. Stop shaking your head. Are you going to the game tonight is what's important.
Oh, man, I wish I was going to that
How
game.
How are you not going to this
because
game?
Because I don't got tickets to this game. I'm not paying $300 to get into this place and sit at the very, very top.
Oh, I thought you
so
might have
here's
had a
the
guy.
Weird. Here's the weird thing.
Yeah.
I've got three really good friends of mine who all work for the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have told me, anytime you want to come, just let me know. I couldn't do it to them. I couldn't ask them for tickets to this game and then turn around and root for the Raiders. Am I a wuss?
That is a total wuss move. You should have gone and told them, I'm showing up to do whatever I want. Yeah, not to mention.
Can't
I don't,
do it.
I don't
yeah, think as you, if somebody invites you over to their house, you don't go and put your feet up on the furniture and start taking stuff out of their fridge and acting like a jackass. Yeah, I could have bought tickets, but I just said, you know what? I've got a big screen at home. It's on a Monday night. I had a Laker game yesterday. I'm leaving on a Laker trip tomorrow.
Load management.
I'm perfectly content staying at home. But I think, Clinton, the rest of the country is going to be shocked. Now, it'll be interesting to see if ESPN even plays up this angle I'm talking about. Because I'm sure the Chargers have asked ESPN, hey, look, don't showcase that we don't have any fans in our own stadium. Because it's embarrassing.
I don't know. I think that that's something – I don't want to say that's overplayed, but, like, the notion that – I mean, listen, the Chargers just moved here, man. You know what I mean? The Chargers were not
moved here at the same time as the Rams.
Yeah, they weren't some super popular team anyway, you know? And so I don't know. I think you've got to measure the Chargers against themselves as opposed to against other teams in LA, if that makes sense. Like, it's effectively an expansion team at that point, you know? And listen, they're an exciting football team. Losable game tonight, John. Very losable game tonight for the Raiders.
Well, I think this game is a coin flip.
Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you this dilemma. I have an interesting, you know, in fantasy football, Mason and I have been in the same fantasy football league for 20 years.
Right.
Mason has said if he finishes last again this year, we've nicknamed him Last Place Mace.
Right, the eyebrow cutting, I believe, is what
his
we're
team,
doing.
His team, the Silence of the Rams, is silent again.
That's funny.
He's dead last. He lost again yesterday. He left Cordarrelle Patterson and his 23 points on his bench.
Oof.
I mean, it's just everything is going wrong for Mason. And he seems headed to shave one eyebrow. I'm in a unique spot tonight, and tell me which side you would rather be on.
Okay.
Okay? I'm 7 points ahead tonight, and I have two good players going for me tonight. Austin Eckler of the Chargers and Darren Waller of the Raiders are both on my team. So I'm going to get some more points. The other guy has one player, Justin Herbert.
Oof.
The computer says, the computer projects how many points you have, that I'm going to win by one. But I don't know, man. Herbert's really good. I'm not so sure I wouldn't rather have Herbert than Waller and Eckler. What do you think?
I think I'd rather have Herbert, too, because Herbert is also basically their whole offense. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they got a bunch of guys that are running around or anything like that. I mean, everything flows through him. And he's fun to watch. I love Herbert. So, yeah, I think, that's a tough spot. You think you're going to win?
I don't. I got lucky last week. CeeDee Lamb only needed to score 6 points, and I would have lost.
Right.
And he fell down on the half-yard line.
Oh.
And I won. So I don't think I can. I don't think lightning's going to strike twice. But we'll see.
Yeah.
And everybody, everybody's got a fantasy dilemma.
Okay. Fun NFL who football in LA, Greg. I'm excited.
Who do you think wins tonight, Clinton? If you had to put the Clinton Yates fortune on one side or the other,
I think
why?
The Bolts are going to win, and I think that because per what we just discussed in terms of like branding, in terms of footprint, in terms of who that team is development wise, in terms of the people on the team, the Chargers need this game more. You know, the Chargers are a team that are trying to figure out if they're good, how they're constructed, or if they need something else to be good. That Chiefs win was a big one for them, not just because they went for it on fourth down and got it, but because they had to figure out, listen, can we actually hang? Or are we just one of these bum sauce teams with a good skill position player and a good quarterback? That's not the case anymore. I think they're a team that actually believes in themselves. And this is an important game for what their trajectory is as a franchise from a roster construction standpoint. I think they're going to win it.
Greg and I were going back and forth today saying, hey, what should we talk about first? Should we talk about the Dodgers or the NFL stuff? And Greg, you said, I think more people care about baseball.
Correct.
Sure. Do you not know, Greg, that NFL preseason games in Los Angeles get higher ratings than the World Series?
We're also talking about TV versus radio, and I feel like the listeners that we have are going to want to hear more about what's going on with the Dodgers. And that's not saying don't talk about them at all. I'm just saying that I believe that the Dodgers are going to get more ears right now.
Well, we're going to find out, because coming up next, we're going to figure out what the Dodgers do now. Max Muncy, out. Clayton Kershaw, out. Adam Wainwright, coming. And so are the Cardinals.
Ooh.
And the Dodgers have to play them on Wednesday. We'll get into that next. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, I can't help but think, Clinton, that those two things aren't related.
What?
Facebook and Instagram are down. I think Mason is lost and doesn't know what to do.
He has no content for the day.
I can't do a radio show without social media. No. It doesn't make sense.
Not even real. It's 2021. How can we be asked to do such a thing?
By the way, that's I don't know. Somebody will figure it out. But that's a massive amount of money lost if both those sites are down for an entire day, right?
Oh, yeah, bro. I mean, that's the lifeblood of a lot of people's content wheels as well. Folks aren't out here beating the bushes like they used to get stuff. They just figure out what's on the bird or what's on Facey B, as I like to call it. And, you know, then they decide they're going to write. That's how that works. A lot of people, not a lot of productivity in the media world today when social media is down.
Do you know there's odds for when, if Facebook will, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, if they'll all be down still at 8:59 Pacific time?
WhatsApp is down too?
WhatsApp, yeah, it's all connected. All three of those are connected.
Does Facebook own all three of those?
Yes, he does.
WhatsApp.
The Facebook guy. I forget his name. Whoa, I went away.
You forget Mark Zuckerberg's name? Didn't you see the social network?
Yeah, I did see it. It was great. I just forgot his name. Sometimes things go out of my head. But do you want the odds?
So we'll keep you.
Let's hear the odds.
I would say it'll be back up. Somebody will get it back up.
So will Facebook be down at 8:59 Eastern time on October 4th? No, -600. Yes, +350. Will Instagram be down at 8:59 Eastern time on October 4th? No, -600. Yes, +350. They're all -600. Yes, +350. Where would you go on those?
I would say they'll all be back up.
So you're getting the +350.
Yeah.
You're actually getting good odds there.
Yeah, I would say it all goes back up.
I think Facebook goes up before IG does.
Do they know why it's down?
Well, there are conspiracy theorists that if you watch 60 Minutes yesterday, will tell you something, but I don't know that I know enough about that subject to pontificate upon it.
All right, so the Dodgers, Clinton, won 106 games, but they lose the division for the first time in 8 years because the Giants were just unbelievable all season. And the Giants won 107. San Francisco will open the National League Division Series on Friday against either the Cardinals or the Dodgers. So the winner of Wednesday's Cardinal-Dodger game at Dodger Stadium, it'll be Adam Wainwright pitching for St. Louis, Max Scherzer for L.A., that team goes on to the NLDS. Strangely, in Vegas, the Dodgers are still favored to win the World Series, even though they're a wild card team. That's never happened before. There's never been a team. Now, teams that were wild cards did it. They worked their way, like the Angels did it in 2002.
Yeah.
But no one's ever been favored to come out of the wild card game and win it all. The Dodgers are now. Should they be?
I think they should be. This doesn't strike me as that much of a stretch, even though I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. I mean, 106 games is 106 games, yo. And the talent level for the Dodgers is arguably unrivaled. I mean, when you think about the Giants, you think about a good team that put it together. I don't want to say surprisingly, but it was relatively surprising how long and that sort of wild win streak they went on in the middle of the year. But I still think most people would tell you the Dodgers are a better baseball team, if that makes sense, Greg.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And to put it into perspective, the Dodgers last year, where they played 60 games, right? They went 43-17 in those 60 games. The last 60 games of the season, the Dodgers went 45-15.
Oh, wow.
45-15.
Good stat out of you, Berman.
And they didn't make up any ground on the Giants.
Zero. Yeah. They were still one game back after all of that.
But I think you have the staff. I mean, by the way, let me remind you, Los Angeles, the person who told you not to put Kershaw as money in the bank when he got back this season was your boy, because I had a feeling that this just wasn't going to work out as well as people thought it was. I'm not trying to gloat on that or anything, but I just wanted to say the expectation management here, I don't think that the Dodgers losing Kershaw is really that big of a hit, to be quite honest. I never really knew what we were going to get, and that's not because he's unskilled.
I don't even know if he was going to start a game in this next series if they get out of the wild card game, because
right.
I think – you normally, Greg, only go with three pitchers.
You do.
And clearly, the three that you would go with, if you're taking politics out of it, are Scherzer, Buehler, and Urias. And the fact that Clayton was back might have been helpful. I mean, it'd be a nice luxury. I think the more significant loss is the one they suffered yesterday when Max Muncy hurt his arm.
Yeah.
I think losing Muncy is comparable to the Giants losing Brandon Belt. You're losing a 30-home run guy. In the case of Muncy, a 35-home run guy. And now the Dodgers got to scramble. Speaking of which, so Greg, this almost makes them have to play Bellinger, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot going on here.
Okay, so first of all,
we got to work this out.
I was listening to the program, not this program, but the Travis and Sliwa beforehand. You just tell me about how you were going at it in the office trying to figure out. I have my pencil and my paper here. Do we have enough time to go through what we think lineup should be?
But positionally,
yes,
it's pretty much set in the infield except for first base. Well. I mean, Justin Turner and Corey Seager are both going to play third and short. For right now, Greg, Trey Turner plays second unless you want to put Gavin Lux there.
You're not moving him. You're not moving Trey Turner.
Okay, so you put him in second.
Right. He is second.
All right, so my thought is your outfield, now, before we were going to put Bellinger in center, Bellinger played pretty decently at first last year and the year before.
He's a gold glove first baseman.
Yep.
Isn't that who goes into first base?
See, no, I don't think so, because I think if you're gonna play Bellinger, I think you play him at center field. So that's
who plays first in that scenario.
This is what I was arguing, and I think...
Tell us who you think should play first, Greg.
Matt Beatty. Don't say to me.
Okay, so hold on.
Matt Beatty has been one of the hottest hitters over the last couple of days with the Dodgers. He's hitting the ball well. He'll give you good at-bats. He has not had one error at first base this season when he's played there, and he's been there for a decent amount of time.
You're playing Matt Beatty ahead of Chris Taylor and ahead of Gavin Lux.
This is where we start having more of the conversation that I'm really excited about, because you can actually put Chris Taylor in center field if you want a guy that you can trust more in the postseason, and you take Cody Bellinger out.
What? I'm not buying that, man.
Why? Because he's been hitting so well?
Yes! No, I'm saying he's Cody Bellinger, and I'm not going to sit up here with Matt Beatty in the playoffs.
Names don't mean anything at this point.
Yes, they do.
No, well, you guys are both right, but Greg, here's the problem. Look, and I don't think you're crazy.
He's breathing heavy.
No, Bergman's idea is not crazy.
No, it's not crazy.
You're sitting under 200. But, Greg, look at Chris Taylor's numbers in the month of September. He's been as cold as Bellinger. He's been awful in September. And I love Chris Taylor. So, Gavin Lux at least has been hitting. So, what about this? You put Trey Turner in center.
Nope.
You put Gavin Lux at second. And then you're not playing Taylor and Bellinger. You put Bellinger at first and use Taylor as a pinch hitter.
I don't mind that.
No, I see. I'm not moving Gavin Lux into. I'm not moving Trey Turner out of the position he's been playing in for this whole time.
Why not?
He hasn't played in center field. When was the last time he played in center field?
Earlier this year with the Nationals.
Trey Turner can play center field, my guy.
I don't see it happening. It might be okay, but I'm leaving.
It might be okay. Have you seen the man's legs? This is what his value is that he can play the outfield as well as he does the infield. It's not a loss at either position because he's that good. This is why Trey Turner is a beast.
By the way, I know we haven't brought it up yet. Do not even come at me. Do not come at me in any way if you're talking about taking A.J. Pollock out or platooning A.J. Pollock or doing anything but putting his butt in left field and leaving him there. A.J. Pollock is the hottest hitter on the Dodgers. He's playing in left. He is as entrenched as Corey Seager is at shortstop or Will Smith is at catcher. If you're going to come at us today with lineup suggestions, it better have A.J. Pollock in the lineup because – Greg, him and Trey Turner, over the last 3 weeks, nobody can get them out.
No.
Those are the two best hitters. Matter of fact, I might even move A.J. Pollock up and let him hit fourth. Well, I mean, he's been that hot. I think that it just seems to me that if you're going to play Bellinger, you're going to hit him in the bottom of the lineup. You're going to hit him seventh or eighth. And if you're going to play Lux, you're going to put him down there too. I think A.J. Pollock starts every game of the playoffs and maybe bats as high as fourth. Greg, would you bat him fourth?
Probably, just because now that Max Muncy is out and that would have been his spot.
Right.
I do like him better there, and then you can still go with Justin Turner and Will Smith in one way or the other behind that. So yeah, unless it's Justin Turner, I think Justin Turner would be the only other guy that would be fourth.
Well, you could. Are you going to lead off Mookie or are you going to lead off Turner?
Yes, absolutely lead off Mookie. Then it goes Seager, who has been one of the hottest hitters in all of baseball over the last 3 weeks.
If you do that, you got to hit Turner third.
Trey Turner goes third, yes.
Yeah. Right.
Trey Turner, absolutely. That's what they're going with that top three every single game, and they've been doing that.
And then you could argue Justin Turner, A.J. Pollock, Will Smith, any order you want to put them in.
Right.
and then you put Bellinger and Lux, or if you're going to play this crazy idea, you have to play Matt Beatty.
I can't believe those
guys 7 and 8.
Yeah, I can't believe you don't trust Trey Turner in the out. Like,
I've never seen him play the outfield.
Well, okay, Clinton, so you have the benefit of being a national.
Yes,
fan. Yeah.
I mean, everybody know. I mean, I'm not trying to jump on you here, but like, there's no. I think you're overplaying the risk there, Greg, with Trey being in center field. You're keeping his bat in the lineup, obviously, and you'd rather take a hit, I think, at second base than you would in center field for the sake of the lineup. To me, this is a no-brainer that Trey, if you can't decide, I think
well,
you
it also, Clinton, Greg, Clinton's plan gets Gavin Lux into the lineup, which I don't hate because Gavin Lux has been hitting well.
I can be convinced. I'm not going to lie. I can be convinced on this because I've never seen him play it, so I just know what I've seen from him at second base and keeping him in the infield. I think that's important.
I don't. I think that Gavin Lux is suitable. Like Clinton says, he's suitable at second base. And if you're going to make an error, if somebody's going to wet the bed in the postseason, you'd much rather make it at second than you would in center, where it could, you know, where it could be an inside the park home run or a triple or, you know, something that would just kill you. But there's a ton of Dodger stuff to talk about. And by the way, that game, we got a crazy Wednesday around here. The Laker game has been moved to 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Phoenix. It's to accommodate the Phoenix Mercury,
which is a cool move, by the way.
Right. And well, the NBA owns the WNBA. So
sure,
I thought
the team still had to agree to it. No,
they did, but everybody did. And by the way, the Mercury, if they win that game, I think they move to the finals, right? They're in the semis now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge game for them. And so the Lakers and Suns are going to play at 3 o'clock. So on ESPN 710 on Wednesday, we're going to have Lakers. And then after the Lakers post game, we slide right into the National League one game playoff, Dodgers, Cardinals in progress.
Oh. The old in progress update. I love that.
It's going to be crazy. All right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions. Clinton Mace, Clinton is in for Mace. And by the way, we've got a ton more stuff to get to. It is a $1 million Monday. We haven't even touched on the college football yet. Raiders Chargers tonight at SoFi. You picked a great day to listen. 7:10 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And a ton of sports happening in L.A. this week. Tonight, we got Raiders Chargers at SoFi. You can watch that game on ESPN and ABC7. Kickoff at about 5:20. Raiders are undefeated. Chargers are 2-1. Chargers are a 3-point favorite in that game. And right now, as you do every day at this time, it's time to spin the wheel of questions. Spin it, Jorge. All right. Wheel of Questions is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. Okay. In order to answer this question, you each need to tell me what is your favorite team, period, like in any sport. Clinton, your favorite team?
For the sake of this question, I'll say Georgetown Hoyas basketball.
Okay. Greg, how about you?
Kind of took part of mine. I was going to say UCLA Bruins basketball.
All right, that's fine. Jorge, what about you?
I'll say the Dodgers.
I'll say the Lakers. Okay, so that's what we'll use in these examples. Now, what body part would you be willing to give up if, It guaranteed that the team you picked would win at least three more championships in your lifetime. So, Clinton, in your case, that would mean the Hoyas go back to
titles?
The Final Four and win it. They haven't won it since 1984.
Right.
All right. Now, here are your choices.
Oh,
anything.
Choices. Oh,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, like so that choices. Way you can't say, like, your left nipple.
You,
got,
like, something you can stupid. Take those. I don't need them.
Right. Go.
Right. Here are your choices. Clear. Any finger, any toe, all of your hair, the sight in one of your eyes,
what?
The hearing in one of your ears, or your entire sense of smell.
Oof.
Clinton, you first. Would you give up one of those things, and if so, which one, if it meant in your lifetime, Georgetown would win three national championships?
I could knock off a toe tomorrow for $100.
Which
you know what
toe?
I'm saying? Like my pinky toes aren't doing anything for me. You know what I mean? Those are useless. Those are useless.
Yeah, you don't even need them for balance.
Feet.
I think didn't Ronnie Lott have him snip off the end of one of his fingers once so he could go back in the game?
That was different. But a toe for a toe, radio host who's writing, don't need it. All right.
Yeah, 90%. Now, Bergman, you walk around in flip flops a lot.
All the time.
You would then be known as the guy with only nine toes. Are you willing to do that if UCLA might win it all next year? They almost won it all this year.
I kind of need more than three, to be honest. In my lifetime, I definitely need more than three. I mean, let's be real here. I need
wait a minute. What year were you born?
1983.
All right. So in your
I'm
lifetime.
I'm 38. In my lifetime, that's another like 50 years.
No, they've won one. See, all the titles came before you were born.
1995, they won one. So
yeah, that's the one.
Right.
But prior to that, the John Wooden won 10 of them, but that was before you were here. What body part are you giving up if it means they win three more while you're alive?
So the pinky toe does not, you don't need it for balance?
Think about it.
I mean, apparently I thought you needed it for balance, like otherwise you're all kind of off.
You might, I don't know.
I mean,
if you need the pinky toe for
balance.
Would you
be better off taking the second to last toe, the fourth toe?
Oh, maybe. I mean,
middle
toe. If it keeps my balance, sure. Or otherwise I'll get rid of like just a regular pinky. Like I don't mind.
I can't take anything off my hands. That's
too visual.
Too visual.
Yeah.
It's
do
like,
you really
I can't
need,
throw baseball correctly. You know.
Do
what
you
mean?
Do you really need hearing in two ears? Isn't one ear
yes,
good
absolutely.
Enough?
Talk about balance. Yeah, okay. Your ears are crucial to balance.
Okay, so yeah, that's true. Also, I had like it's kind of gross, but my ear was stuck for about a month where I couldn't hear out of it. It was the most miserable month of my life.
What do you
it
mean
was
stuck?
Awful.
So, okay, so you're not involving hearing in any way.
No, absolutely not. Hearing, not seeing, none of that stuff.
Yeah, that's
I think
right.
The pinky toe is the right. Right.
Jorge, what are you giving up?
I already have a bad sense of smell, but I'm with the guys. The toes, because you can hide those. You know, wear shoes, socks, whatever. You can hide those. Yeah, so it's easy. A toe.
Yeah, I think the toe would be the unanimous choice. But the interesting thing is all four of us would do it. Like, we didn't even hesitate for a second of, I'm not doing it. We immediately went to which body part are we giving up?
Yeah, get rid of the toe. Give me the championship.
The toe's got to go.
The toe's got to go.
Look what you did there.
There's no toe rings.
Can you imagine getting toe rings? First of all, toe rings are weird. This is going to sound crazy, but like if I was ever in a situation with a partner and there was a toe ring involved, shut it down.
Yeah,
I'm not going
right.
anywhere with toe rings. That's not happening.
All right. So did everybody watch Belichick and Brady last night?
Yeah.
I thought it was really fascinating. And the thing that stood out to me is this. How on God's green earth did they let Tom Brady out of the building in New England? And Clinton, I asked you this a few weeks ago about Trey Turner. Like, every once in a while, how can a sports team live? Like, I don't know how the Red Sox live with themselves after trading us Mookie Betts. Isn't the point of sports is that every once in a while you get one of those guys? Not very often, obviously.
Yeah.
But you get one of these guys that is directly related to winning championships. And nobody better exemplifies that than Brady. How in the world did it come to that? That Tom Brady, who on all accounts is not only an unbelievable player, but seems like a completely reasonable guy. Why didn't Robert Kraft go to Bill Belichick and go, hey, look, I know you're a hard ass. I know you want your way or the highway. But this guy's not leaving. This guy's directly responsible for five Super Bowls. We're not letting him go. I'm going to sign him. You make it work. Clinton, how did it come to this?
I think what it comes down to is that when you look at the sort of triumvirate of people between Brady, Belichick, and Kraft is just better friends with Belichick. I mean, I that's the only way that I can look at this, that he sided with somebody that I think he believed is more like him and therefore felt a little bit more in control of his own situation. I mean, think about it. If Brady comes back to the Patriots and Brady wins another one, suddenly at that point, you not only have to put up a statue of him, but you've got to basically, you know, he runs the franchise. And don't think that that power element isn't majorly important to not just coaches, but owners as well. You know, NFL owners are not guys that are very, you know, out here just for the charity of it. The control element of everything is a large part of why these guys are in the business of operating pro sports teams. And I think that if you look at what Tom has become now, and this has supposed to be the most interesting thing about it to me, Ireland, is that, yo, Tom Brady, likable character in a much different way than he ever was in Boston. And so to your point, I think it kind of also, not only did they lose him as a player, it kind of backfired on them in terms of what the overall legacy is of who these two are, Belichick and Kraft, is that they are clearly the jerks at this point because everybody likes Tom Brady now, even though he left the Patriots, including Patriots fans, as evidenced by the daggone ovation he got there. Like, yesterday was
by the way,
a power play.
Did you hear the boos?
Yeah, but
who
like
boos Tom Brady?
I don't know. I mean, I think that there's a lot of sort of hard asses, as you mentioned, but I just want to say this last thing quickly. The power play that was Brady walking back into the building, fresh off his last ring, beating them, getting hyped in bad weather, and then basically forcing them to say, "Are you not entertained?" You know, forcing the "Are you not entertained?" moment. I mean, that was just, you live to down enemies like that in your life some way, and he did it. It was pretty amazing overall.
Yeah, I just think that if you get a guy like that, like, there's a reason the Lakers never traded Kobe or Magic,
right,
or Kareem once they got him. I mean, Dr. Buss had a very good, in, you know, later Genie had a very good vision of what a franchise player is. And how can there be a better example of a franchise player than Tom Brady? The fact that they let him out of the building stuns me to this day. It doesn't make any sense. Well, did you see that one NFL coach, Clinton, apologized for something he did in a bar? And I'm not sure he should have. We'll tell you that story coming up next. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, and Morales mentioned it. Million Dollar Monday is coming up soon, so your chance to win $1 million.
Why is
right,
Morales
right
acting like
quarter.
I'm not contributing to the show? I mean, you're talking a
you
lot.
No, he just
like,
likes to bag on
I'm
me.
I'm here.
It doesn't have anything to do with you. He just likes to bag on me. A couple of people have been on hold for a while. Let's get to these, and I'll get you this NFL story. Here's Mike in Inglewood. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? What
good,
up?
Mike.
Hey, man, I hope you guys are having a good day. I just want to comment on the championship of California. It's a championship state, so the Rams, the Chargers, and the Clippers, they're never going to have a strong fan base until they win a chip anyway. The city of Inglewood is the city of champions. So just want to put that out there to all the fans out there on the radio.
And all right, Mike. Well, and here's the thing. Even if the Chargers or the Clippers, Clinton, won a championship, I think that the hold on the city would be temporary. This is a Laker town and a Dodger town, not just because they win a lot, but they've won consistently for decades. I don't think one championship is going to knock those teams off their perch.
And also, I mean, like, I don't want to say that particular portion of the discussion is like, not boring, but like, you know, there are going to be people that grow up rooting for this team. These payoffs happen 10, 15 years down the line. You know what I'm saying? There's no single trick or no single game that's going to turn fan bases. It's just going to be people that, for whatever reason, grow up liking one team versus another. And then if they eventually get good, that's something that they like. But like, there's a lot of bad teams around the league that people don't care about or do care about. So we'll see. I mean, I think that the Chargers are doing themselves a favor by A, being in the same building as the Rams, and B, being relatively relevant. You know what I'm saying? This is a pretty good football team right now, for sure.
Here's Mike and Downey. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
How you doing, guys? Okay, so I was talking to your producer, and I was saying, like, put Trey Turner in center field. Use his legs. Chris Taylor's a better infielder than he's an outfielder. That's what I would do for the whole second base center field situation, and put Bellinger at first, dude, because he has a great glove. You know he does. And, and you know he has those moments to perform in the playoffs as well.
And in the thanks, Mike, for the phone call. And Greg, he hasn't Bellinger hasn't been hitting for average all season. He's been terrible, but he's shown flashes, little spots of his old self over the past couple of weeks. So I'm not all that annoyed to put Bellinger back in the lineup, even though I wish we had Muncy.
So he, I mean, you guys are talking about postseason though, and Cody Bellinger in the postseason is absolutely horrendous at the plate. He is terrible. Everything that he's been doing this season where he's batting below 200, that's him in the playoffs and maybe possibly worse.
So he's not playing for you at all in the playoffs?
No, I mean, he is a defensive replacement. I might play him in center field just for the defensive aspect of it, and maybe, and you're kind of convincing me on having Trey Turner at center field.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think Trey in center field is just not, it's not an experiment. I just that's all I'm saying.
Sure, it's not an experiment. If you're not playing Cody Bellinger at center for his defense, then I definitely don't want him playing first against a right-handed. I just
Craig is.
There's nothing about Cody Bellinger's bat that gets me excited, and I know that at first base, Beatty can do just as good a job at first base that Bellinger can, if maybe a little bit worse.
Well, they're probably going to have to decide by Wednesday because Max Muncy's out, and they're going to. I mean, it may have to do with matchups. Adam Wainwright's a right-hander.
And he's lefty, so you might want to go there.
Yeah, you may want to put Bellinger and Gavin Lux in the lineup just so you have more left-handers in it. We'll have to wait and see.
I'm really all right,
I mentioned
Beatty
this,
into the game.
this NFL story, Clinton.
Yeah.
First base.
So, I'm not sure I get this. Urban Meyer, who, of course, is one of the most successful college coaches ever, made the jump to the NFL this year. He's coaching in Jacksonville. So, the other night, his team, the Jags, lost to the Browns in Cleveland on Thursday Night Football. So rather than go back to Jacksonville with the team, Urban hung around in Ohio, where he's from, and spent some time there, celebrated one of his friend's birthdays. And while he was in one of the bars celebrating with his friends,
oh yeah,
he got a lap dance from a young girl, and because everybody has camera phones in their pocket, this all went viral. So Urban met with the media today, as he always does on Monday, after an NFL weekend. And he brought it. He wasn't asked about it. He brought it up. Here's what he said.
Can you explain the viral video?
I'm sorry, he was asked.
From your place over the weekend?
Yeah, I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction, just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it and, you know, just a stupid should not have myself in that kind of position.
Urban, did you fly back with the team, or did you stay in?
No, I stayed to see the grandkids, and we all went to dinner that night at the restaurant. And then there's a big group next to our restaurant, and they wanted me to come over and take pictures, and I did. And they were trying to pull me out on the dance floor, screwing around, and I should have left.
Mm-hmm. How did the team react? I mean, they're probably pretty reactionary, or, you know, how did they take it, your apology?
Well, I've always been so defensive of them. You know, I remember when Trevor told me he was going to go to Vegas for his bachelor party. I mean, I was just, my gosh, man, be careful and surround yourself, and because I've seen this happen. And I spoke to a bunch of leaders one-on-one, spoke to all the players. They're good. They were focused on Tennessee, and I apologized again for being a distraction. And the coach should not be a distraction.
How about your family? Did you feel a need to apologize to your family?
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah, that's not me, and that's they're upset.
Have you talked to Shad Khan about it, and what was that conversation like?
I did talk to Shad, and very supportive. And Trent, I talked to him obviously at length. Right when I got that phone call that night, the next night.
All right. So, Clinton, that was a very, as you could tell, that was, you know, 3 minutes of Urban Meyer apologizing for getting a lap dance at a bar. Now, maybe I'm being naive. I want you to tell me. But when he was a college coach, I could understand how this would be bad. Right. You're entrusting your young college son with Urban Meyer and his program, and Urban Meyer's out getting a lap dance from a 22-year-old in a bar. But he's an NFL coach now. He's not in charge of, like, player development of young men. The guys that play for him are all adults who get paid. Should he have apologized for this, especially that extensively?
I don't think so. And, like, I got to say, the tone of that presser for something that is ultimately really just kind of, I'll say, marginally embarrassing for him and his family, but, like, a matter of the bedroom between him and his wife. Like, why are we so serious, guys? You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing actually went wrong here outside of the fact that Urban looked a little bad. You know what I'm saying? Things got a little loose. They ended up online. But the jokes were hilarious. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been talking about this in my group chats all weekend in terms of just, like, I'm sure that when he was asked that question, what was the reaction like from the team? You know what the team probably did? Laughed their behinds off because they've probably all been in very similar situations. I had no idea that Urban Meyer was going to turn into one of the most relatable coaches in the NFL after having a weekend back in Ohio. I'm completely with you, Ireland. I get it. It's embarrassing. It's awkward. But, like, what are we talking about here, man? Nobody did anything wrong in terms of illegal or otherwise. Like, I don't know, man. I bet you it's a lot looser in the Jack's facility, considering how bad that team is yet today, than it was the previous 6 weeks of the season.
Wow. Here's the thing, and by the way, serious. You guys can ring through on this if you want. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Bergman, I could understand a college coach apologizing, but isn't this between Urban and his wife? I mean, and if it is, he wouldn't be the first NFL coach to get a divorce. I mean, he wouldn't. A matter of fact, most NFL coaches, I mean, unless they're young like McVay, I mean, most NFL coaches have been through something like this. I remember Sean Payton a few years ago went through this. Jimmy Johnson went through this. I mean, why is this a story in the football media?
Because he got caught. That's why it's a story.
Greg got caught doing what?
He got caught having some random girl grinding up on him.
Right. And the, like, problem with that is around. What?
No, okay, well, he's just married. That's just the problem with it.
Like, I don't think we need to be that serious on the other side of it, too. Like, he does not have to apologize. I just thought that, like, the overall, if I'm in the media, if I'm in the Duval County media, I am not pinning him to the wall over this. Not even close.
And you didn't it seem like they all it. Did?
Yes. I mean, you can make fun of him for it, but, like, nothing. He has not sinned against God in this situation. Like, no. He just got loose at a bar. Some girl was up on him. These things happen, Gregory.
They do, but he's also 0-4, so, you know, the media is going to be like, oh, look at you. You're 0-4, and nobody likes you.
Greg, they had lost
15 games in a row before he got
there.
They
suck. Who was that guy who said, did you apologize to your family? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think that was the thing I was most offended of all. Like, if he did or if he didn't, what's that have to do with what he called on 3rd and 8?
And it's none of your business, buddy.
They connect,
Greg,
obviously.
Bergman, you know me. You know me. There's no one who likes salacious gossip and stuff like girls grinding up on coaches in a bar more than me. But I actually felt bad for Urban. I felt bad for Urban. Why is he? I mean, why is he defending his at night on an off day behavior to the Jacksonville football media?
He doesn't need to apologize to anybody but his wife, that's for sure. But I mean, this is it was going to go viral. Once it got caught, once you were put out on blast, it was gonna get caught. They were gonna ask you about it. He was ready for it. I mean, he told Shad Khan.
I mean, I just the jokes were just too good. I mean, all of the stuff about I'm not even gonna get into about formations and the sets he's running and all that. I mean, I was cracking up.
Yeah,
this
but
is
that's
so clear, funny.
That's what it should be. Yes. It should be kind of a you know, they should be, you know, breaking his you know what
right
over
and
this.
I guarantee you that's what the team's doing. Jorge's over here playing Pony by Ginuwine. If he didn't walk in to that song to the facility in the locker room today, Jags, get it together, because that would have been hilarious. He doesn't embarrass anybody but himself and his family, and I don't think you should have to apologize to the world for that when you've already gone through what the embarrassment is. Plus, I like the way he donned the goon vestments, a.k.a. the OSU quarter zip. I'm like, what are you doing out in your old gear? Like, that whole thing was just like.
Because when you're getting paid that much, you can do whatever the hell you want.
That was funny.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we're going to circle back to the Rams. They were not just beat, but they were beat up yesterday. What happened to the Rams, and how big of a loss is this? Do we write it off as just one game? It happens. Or the way they lost, does that mean there's going to be a new favorite in the NFC West? 877-710-ESPN if you want to ring through. Also, in the 2 o'clock hour, I guarantee you we're going to touch on Million Dollar Mondays. We're going to give somebody a chance to win $1 million sometime in the next hour. So keep it here. Clinton in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Why so serious?